helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing the things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Call 340-1045. That's 340-1045. Now, the Home and Garden Show with Wally Conway and Larry O'Neill on News 104.5 WOKV.
Good morning, 8:07 on a beautiful Saturday morning in Jacksonville, Florida. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to the Home and Garden Show. The Home and Garden Show is heard every single Saturday from 7 till 9 right here at News 104.5 WOKV. The Home and Garden Show features Larry O'Neill, fellow on the other side of the table here, and me, Wally Conway. What we do is share Larry's 20-plus years experience toiling in the soil, my 20-plus years crawling about in attics and crawl spaces, and catch you up on what's going on around town in that regard. If you have a question, a comment, or just like to check in with us, we're always happy to hear from you. You can do that by dialing 340-1045. If you're outside of the immediate Jacksonville area, listening at WOKV.com or the WOKV app, which I use all the time when I travel, love the app, you would need the area code 904-340-1045. That's all there is to it. Down in St. Augustine lives a man named Bob who's got a water oak tree and he's not sure what to do with it. Bob, welcome to the Home and Garden Show.
Thanks, guys. I have a very, very large water oak tree that is in the corner between my house and my detached garage. Uh-huh. It's we built the house about 15 years ago, so it's been undisturbed since then. Mm-hmm. It's probably 3 feet in diameter. A little up over the base, tall and full. It's made it through both hurricanes, but my wife is very concerned about whether or not it's going to fall on the house, and I need a recommendation as to whether I should remove it or not.
How big's the space between the home and the garage? What's the distance?
The space between the home and the garage is probably about 15 to 20 feet. The tree is, there's also a walkway that goes between the two, and the tree is very close to that.
Well, I'll tell you, water oaks are the highest turnover trees in the state of Florida. Water oaks and laurel oaks. So if you have a water oak and a laurel oak, and it's 3 to 4 feet in diameter.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
Yeah, you know, so the life expectancy of a water oak or a laurel oak in our area, the average life expectancy is 50 years. So yeah. You do the calculation, you figure maybe I would say it's probably at its life expectancy. Now, sometimes they live longer and sometimes they live shorter. But do you see any branch dropping or any of that other stuff, you know, losing?
No, this tree is very, very healthy. I have some others that I'm going to take out. We've taken out some others. This property was totally raw when I bought it, and I left way too many trees when I took them out. Now, we are up high on a sand ridge, and our water table's like 14 or 15 feet down.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I'm not concerned with the ground being saturated and it coming over.
Right. I honestly, you know, you've been there 14 years. It's 4 to 5 feet in diameter. I would say take it down because it's just a risk, you know. And then you don't even know if it's damaged. So a lot of times they're hollow in the inside. It's just that's the only time I would say, hey, listen, it's right next to the house. It really doesn't have any probability of falling anywhere else but on the house, you know. Then I would say take it down, you know, because it's probably at its life expectancy, the normal life expectancy. Now, have I seen them older? Yes, but. You know, even though you've got insurance and all these other things to cover it in case it does come down and it damages your roof and all these other things, it's still who wants to go through the hassle?
And that, well, if this one came down, it would be catastrophic.
So take it down. I would say it's at its life expectancy, you know, and I rarely, you know, if it was a live oak, I'd say no, but laurel oak. I was working in Riverside. I saw a laurel oak look perfectly healthy. It was not even raining. The sun is shining. And all of a sudden I hear pop, pop, and the thing just laid down right across St. John's Boulevard. You know, you couldn't even tell the thing. It didn't have any diseases on it or anything, but it had been damaged, you know, before in a couple other storms, and it just finally gave way. So Yeah, I would say take it down. I would agree with
your
wife.
I appreciate the information, guys. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Good luck with it. That'll be expensive, stuck right between those two buildings. To bring it down in pieces.
Cheaper than when it comes down on the house.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's an insurance issue.
Yeah.
Not that you want that to come down.
Yeah,
your house.
You just don't want to have
I've lived through that.
Yeah. It's just a house.
All right. Let's see if we can help Justin in Jack's Beach with his tangerine orchids. Welcome, Justin.
Hey, guys. I got a couple questions.
Sure.
First, isn't it a little suicidal to be over tender and over the edger?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it'll leave a skid mark right down the side of the building.
Boy's overeater, too. He's an overeater, too. Yeah.
I got a buddy of mine out here at the beach dancing, John. He's having a terrible time trying to sweeten up his orchids. I think it's a tangerine tree.
Oh, it's tangerine tree. Okay, and they're bitter or they're sour. So.
Yeah. And I told him about the nail and the stock thing, the iron nail.
Yeah.
And he swears that won't work.
Well, your buddy's a genius because what has happened, Justin, is that you know the tangerine fruit bearing portion of the tree is either died, it's died, and what you have is the rootstock that's taken over. And the rootstock is a sour orange, or it's a swindle orange stock, probably rootstock, and it's going to be that way forever. You know, it's so. The best thing to do is cut that thing down, or just grow it as an ornamental, or find some use for sour oranges.
There's lots of things to do. I
mean, yeah, Wally
marmalades, and you can muddle them with bourbon.
Yeah, Wally just puts a little squeeze of sour orange and a whole quart of bourbon, and he swallows it down in about 15 minutes.
we've had noticeable success knocking off, you know, a percentage of the blooms.
Yeah.
So that the tree can focus, I guess, more of its energy on.
It's a great idea, but it's not going to be successful because you have two different trees. You cannot make it's genetically different than it's a different tree. There's two trees that are put together when you have a citrus tree. They have the rootstock, which is the portion that is it's growing on. It's the below ground stuff, and then they take another whatever they want. It would be a tangerine orange, and they graft the two together.
I get it. What we have been doing though is juicing them, and just adding a little bit of sugar to them in water, and
some hey, it makes great juice. It makes a great juice.
Yeah.
People use it on chicken, the cooking with chicken, peeling the orange, the peelings for marmalade. There's other things you can use for it. You got to be creative, and it's free. You know what I mean? And it's free.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you guys.
Uh-huh.
Bye. See if we can help Rick on the south side with his moles. Welcome, Rick.
Hey, Rick.
I think what was on his mind was how does he affirm and confirm that it is moles in the yard?
Well, moles will have a raised area, you know, where you look
like a trail.
A trail looks like a trail, and it'll push up, and they'll have a little mounding there. And the moles are very aggressive creatures. You know, when you pick one up, you wouldn't think they would be. But they're very aggressive, so they don't like other territorial, you know, in intrusion. So there's probably only one or two moles in the whole yard, or one mole, and he's after everybody else, trying to keep them out of his territory. But they're very active, so the best way to get rid of them is get rid of the insects. I would have just some type your pest control company apply some insecticide onto your lawn.
I had an irregular mole removed from the small of my back last
week. Did you
really? Yeah, my dermatologist, Mike Lutz, he sees things and he cuts them off.
I do my own.
You do your own?
I do my own, yeah.
Do you send them to the lab to be analyzed?
Yeah, I do. I look at them in a magnifying glass, and then I look, and I'm saying, oh, I'm good.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if they're irritating, you know, I had a couple of them. I did my own. You know, what I do is I just get a little, razor blade and that anticoagulant stuff you spray on your skin. That's coming off. They're not. They don't look irregular. I mean, it's cheap. I mean, I had a doctor try to get a mole off my head one time, twice, and he failed. So I said, I'm doing this myself. It came back twice. So anyway.
So we need to give a medical disclaimer now during the show.
Don't do it at home.
Do not do your own surgery.
I've done three of them. Way. Yeah. And then, I've done 3 years.
Larry, everything you say is a data point.
Okay.
Lake Asbury, checking in with Laurie, help her with her peach tree. Yeah. Welcome to the Home and Garden Show, ma'am.
Yes, good morning.
Morning, ma'am.
Uh-huh. We have a peach tree. It's about 4 or 5 years old. Last year, it just produced so much fruit. It was incredible. And then this year, of course, I guess it was because of the warm winter. Uh-huh. It didn't, when it came February, where it usually, came into bloom, mm-hmm. it did not.
Yes.
We didn't even get leaves on the tree until probably about May.
Well,
we got two little peaches this year.
Mm-hmm.
But my question being, now it's going dormant, it's losing its leaves, mm-hmm. but it's blooming. We've got beautiful blooms all over the tree.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
It's confused.
Mm. Well, it is somewhat confused. Were the peaches on the lower portion of the tree, or were they on the upper portion? The ones you did get.
The two that we got was in the middle.
In the middle. Okay, that's good. Well, the reason I asked that because, some areas are warmer in that area. And then I would say that what happened is that the tree got a late frost. Remember, we got a late frost this year and burned all the buds off. And that's what happens. And then it's, recovering out of sequence. But you may have some flowers next year. You could, if you, and we've had a lot of rain, that will throw things out of whack too. But don't water it anymore for sure. Okay. Cause it to have a little bit of stress. Let's say we have another 60 days of warm weather. I would not water it anymore. Okay. Stress it out a little bit, and that will help to produce more flowers. When fruit trees get a little stressed, if I have a stubborn orange tree, and it has not produced oranges in 5 years, and it should be because it's got age, I break out the pruning shears on that thing and prune. Again, a little bit of stress will cause the tree to produce flowers because, I think, I'm at the end of my run here, and I need to produce seed for my replacement. So that's basically how it works. So, you could.
We pruned it back really, really good.
When did you prune it? When?
When did we? Oh, I think it was in the fall. After it did all the fruit, lost its leaves. And then we pruned it back really good.
Well, the pruning it back in the fall is not what you want to do because you're cutting off all the flowers. You're cutting all the branches. The flowers are already set. That's what you probably did. That's another piece of the puzzle there. Is that
when do we prune it?
Immediately after it produces flowers. After you decide the flowers set some fruit, you can prune it then. It's still, or they bloom in February, so light pruning at that point would be an idea, good idea.
Right after it produces the flowers.
The flowers, right. After it produces flowers, it's going to set fruit, okay? Fruit's going to be set. So then you can lightly prune around, all right?
Oh.
And that actually has an added benefit of the fruit that it does, that you do keep on the tree, they're going to be bigger. Okay,
right.
Reducing the amount of fruit increases the amount of size on the fruit, okay?
Okay, all right. So these blooms will fall off and it may bloom again in February?
Yes. Stress it out.
Okay.
All right, no more water.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you, Laurie. Man. Looking forward to the peach pie.
I love peaches.
Me too.
We used to have peaches.
I really love your peaches.
That's
Mongo
California.
Jerry. You know that song?
I used to climb up in a peach tree and eat peaches until I couldn't stand it anymore.
I believe it. Yeah. 8:21 here at News 104.5. Brief break. Back to your calls at 340-1045. Stay with us. Right back. 8:26 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Reminder, should you need a large landscaper during the week, easy to find all the time online, larrysgarden.com. Got the blog, got the video, 2,000 active bloggers, great place to be. If you would need to use the telephone, 346-1970. That's for Larry's Garden. Easy to do. Home inspections, commercial building inspections, environmental sampling, and other consulting of wonderment along with the 18-month home warranty. GoHomePro.com. GoHomePro.com.
Phone number? Don't let a person buy a house or sell their house without a home inspection.
Absolutely not. From
the largest investment you make in your entire life. The largest investment you most people make in their entire life.
Unless you buy a big boat.
Yeah.
Phone number 268-8211. Operator standing by.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you know there's 900 licensed home inspectors in Jacksonville? 900.
Right.
It's crazy. When I started in 1994, there were 9 in the phone book.
Right.
I was number 10.
Number 10.
Most of those 9 before me have since moved on or passed on. Anyway, there's a lot of inexperience out there. Be cautious. Be cautious and be suspicious of referrals.
How many houses have you went into, Wally?
Personally?
Well, yeah.
Personally,
as I'm talking to you, I'm not talking about anybody else.
Personally, professionally for a fee, about 6,000 as a company, okay. About 35,000.
Okay, personally, 6,000 houses.
Yeah.
You got a lot of experience.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I started visiting houses when I was young, trick-or-treating.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I did. That doesn't count in the 6,000.
Yeah.
But I've trick-or-treated at more than 1,000 houses.
You quit when you're 15 trick-or-treating? You know, you're so small.
Probably before that.
You're so small, you could get away with it. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
When I was 8, they said, well, you're too old to be trick-or-treating. When you were 18, you could still trick-or-treat.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. You're visiting the houses is, you know, how it started. Maybe that's how it started, your home inspection thing. But you've been in 6,000 houses, more than anybody.
Yeah, doing home inspection. Well, right. There's people around the planet who've done more.
Yeah, I'm sure. But, I mean, not many more.
No.
Yeah.
You've solved
all kinds of, from leaky roofs to leaky pipes.
All kinds of ways.
And you're a smell. You can find the smell.
Very good at that.
All right.
I can find smells that I can't smell.
Oh, yeah. All right. Because you've got a smell detector.
No, I use the person who smells it.
Oh, okay.
It's in asking the right questions.
Right.
So we just...
Because, yeah, you know, your nose is...
Everyone smells things different, and you bring up an interesting thing.
Right.
Very often, when there's a smell in a house, one spouse smells it, and one says they don't.
Right, exactly.
And so we just take those folks who smell it and talk to them and ask questions and move them around the house and go sniffing together, and we figure it out.
Right.
It's not that difficult. Right. You don't need to smell it yourself to solve it.
Okay. All right. So you got it all solved. So if you're getting a house, selling a house... See Uncle Wally.
I think we'll take a break. It's 8:30 here at News 104.5. We've got Fox News traffic weather. Then we'll continue with the show with you by calling 340-1045. Thank you so much. Be right back. .36 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections. Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden. Grateful you share your time with us. Thank you so much. Here is a call we haven't ever had. We've been doing this a decade. Carlo in Ocean Way has wild pigs destroying his yard.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, not really. They can do some serious damage.
They can make some serious bacon.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Carlo, welcome to the Home and Garden Show.
Hey there, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Love
the show.
I got to ask you this question. Well, you describe it, and then I'll ask my question.
Okay. Well, I live out here at Pumpkin Hill Preserve, and I don't really have a fence behind me into the preserve.
Uh-huh.
I know there's a Bogey Creek and all back there. It's a little bit on the swampy side.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't get any water rain or anything from Irma, but... I guess over time they've gotten a little bit more brave over time. I've gotten these pigs that are coming into my yard and just tearing it up. One of them must be pretty big with some tusks. He's tearing up like roots that are about an inch in diameter.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, pigs—they did a job at Nocatee. They were just tearing up everybody's yards at Nocatee. You know, I don't know if you could shoot them. You know, there's a season on pigs. You know that, you know, but you know, a lot of people eat them and hunt them.
Oh,
but,
yeah,
yeah. But you can get what you can buy is some I forget the product.
Pig away?
Not pig away, but it's made for it. It's made for it. It's a castor oil, pepper, cayenne pepper, all that stuff, and you can make your own combination.
How about a hot wire?
That would work. You know, definitely.
Just the same way you would retain horses or anything else.
Right. Deer really respond well to that, too. And, wild dogs, once they make, they make a contact with that wire one time, they're not coming back. You couldn't drag them there, but you can make your own concoction if you want to get a large pot, get the hottest pepper you can get.
I'd get bacon bits. I'd sprinkle bacon bits along the yard.
That's what you're going to be, bacon bits. And then you can get a hose end sprayer and try that on your yard.
How big is the area, Carlo?
Okay.
That works. Well, that will work. The only problem is
it's about 20 by 30 feet.
Yeah, that's not too
big.
Yeah,
that's a small area.
That's a small area.
Hot wire would do that.
Hot wire.
And I love the bacon bits idea.
The hottest pepper, you can get black pepper, put some cayenne pepper, and grind up the seeds of whatever you can get, the Carolina Reaper, if you can get a Carolina Reaper, and then mix it in there, and then a little bit of bring it to just right under boiling for around 20 minutes, and then you could actually put a little bit of maybe oil in there, olive oil or something like that, and spray it on the yard. That will just get it to stick to the leaves, and you should get a result
from that. Hopefully do that before it's going to rain for a few days, right?
Yeah, so stay down. Right, exactly.
I'll let y'all know.
Hey, let me know. Yeah,
mongoose. Get a mongoose.
Mongoose.
A mongoose, huh?
But I like the...
I don't know. This is a pretty big pig.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to... No, yeah, exactly. So some of those pigs can get... just look, I saw on the news that one of the pigs was like 600 or 700 pounds.
Really?
A big wild pig in Texas.
Try the bacon bits thing just for the heck of it.
Yeah.
Now the bacon bits is to attract them to the oil.
No, the bacon bits, man. It's like, whoa.
Wally's bothering you. He's trying to be sarcastic.
I didn't think pigs like to eat pigs.
Right.
That's my whole point. Yeah. Put the bacon bits out there. Like, man, don't go there.
Oh, yeah.
There we go. Man.
All right. Hey, thanks, Carlo, for calling.
Thanks, okay. Carlo. Hey, check in with us next week. Let us know what happens.
Yeah.
And there's probably like 200 bubbas up there all saying, hey, just give me the dude's address and that
they're done.
That hog is gone.
Right.
Yeah.
You'll be frying in my frying pan.
Well, maybe things will be safer down in Middleburg with Dan. Yeah. We'll figure out what's killing his palms.
Yeah.
Dan, welcome to the Home and Garden Show.
Yeah, welcome. I have about 8 huge palm trees, beautiful palm trees. And 3 years ago, I bought this property, and about 6 months ago, me being stupid, I noticed that the bark on the trees were falling off.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of disappearing.
Right.
Great big hunks.
Uh-huh.
And so I went to my nursery, and I got, over a period of 6 months, I got about 30 gallons of this white liquid.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told to pour around the roots, around the trees, to get rid of obviously the bugs got to them.
I don't think it's bugs. I don't think it's bugs.
Well, anyway, what happened is 2 days ago, I thought I had them cured.
Uh-huh.
Even though they looked real bad, the trunks of the trees, they're like 20 inches around.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, I have a dozen woodpeckers that have come and into the trees, into the top of the palm trees, and eating what appears to be dead bugs or live bugs or bark or whatever, but I don't know what they're eating. And it appears to me that I have some kind of a bug there that they're eating.
Well, there's several different problems there, it sounds like to me, Dan, that if the woodpeckers are on the top of the tree, that means it's got some type of a palm weevil. Maybe it has palm weevils, and you'd have to get to that fairly quickly. I mean, that will kill a tree like within 3 to 4 weeks. At least it can be faster than that. The sides of the tree where the bark is just falling off, that sounds like Gammadera or some type of fungus there that could cause that. And were the trees recently climbed, say, in the last year or two?
No.
Okay. Well, that's unusual. Usually that is caused by damage. Once the trees are that old, where they get damaged or bumped by equipment or something, that open a wound up like that. But it sounds like you have, you know, some type of fungus on the bark. Now, on the trunk. But in the tree, when they're on the top of the tree and the woodpeckers are there, that sounds like palm weevil or some type of weevil. And if you could climb up there and take your hand, and it's going to feel, if you have palm weevil, it's going to be kind of mushy. You'll find a lot of debris, like filings, and you'll actually feel holes in the where you can stick your finger in there. They look like they're tunnels. And that's what the weevil is doing damage to that. And you'll notice some of the fronds kind of going at almost vertical.
This white liquid that I use, I've even sprayed it up into the palm trees.
Yeah.
But
well,
it doesn't appear. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, the woodpeckers give me the situation. I think I haven't cured.
I think that you need to hire a professional, Dan. I mean, how if you like those trees you don't want them getting any further, you want to keep them. I think that's when you have woodpeckers up there, they're after weevils or some type of insect that can do some serious damage to the tree and kill the tree.
Yeah. Who do I call?
Well, I mean, you can call the branch manager. He's a guy I use, and have him come out there and give you an evaluation of the tree and trying to figure out what's wrong with them. Hitting and missing on palms is because they're so susceptible to getting damage that can kill them. Once losing the leading spear would kill them. Gamadera can kill them, and that could be fixed fairly easily. The branch manager could come out there and take a look at them and tell you what the problem is.
Okay, who would I call him?
Yeah, I call him. His number, I believe, is, I don't have his number on me, but you can call the office, 346-1970. And we'll give the branch manager, but he's on the internet. You can find him on his number on the internet.
And it's called what?
The branch manager. Branch manager. I'm having a mental break here, you know, on his number, but he's easy to get a hold of. And one thing he's very good at when I use him, he's very good about keeping things clean, not transferring it onto the other trees. It's very important when you're having a company do your palm work. It's very, very important if you have a diseased palm or a problem that he does not get it transferred to other palms. A lot of times people will, transfer disease by not keeping their palms, their equipment clean. So you may have just came for a clean up on your tree, and next thing you know, you've got a disease. Here, I got his number. It's 607-4113. 607-4113. Sanitary implementation on any type of palm trees is definitely a big, big plus. Okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Bye, sir. Good luck with that. Hey, let's help Kelly and St. Augustine solve their Sylvester palm difficulties. Welcome, Kelly.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Very well, thanks. How can we help?
Awesome. I've got a question that's plagued mankind for like a week.
Marianne or Ginger?
How about both?
these guys that go through the neighborhood with a trailer full of palms, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll go door to door, knock on a door, and they got a trailer full of palms, Sylvester palms, queen palms, and they're beautiful.
Yes.
And you get them at a cheap price. But what I've seen is I help the neighbor put them in and water them in and make sure that they're all done in there properly, and then they go to crap.
Uh-huh.
And they look like crap for like a year or two.
And they're often stolen trees.
It could be stolen trees, Wally said, and that could be the case.
They say they get them from a tree farm somewhere, and you know you get good prices on them, and they're beautiful, and they're all wrapped up and everything, and they're perfect. But as soon as you put them in the ground, they look horrible.
And Bonnie and Clyde said they got the money from the bank, and that was true.
A good point, Wally. But what happens is a lot of times they'll be droughted, and then they're, you know, right at the point of going into stress and draw, you know, turning yellow. There's a, you know, you can get, you know, we do what we call is a tree injection. If you have problem with a tree, like oak tree, or you have borers, or is we inject nutrients and fungicide and a multitude of trace elements into the tree. And you can have that done to the palm, and the palm will usually spring right back from it. And when you do an injection versus fertilizer, it goes, you get the day I inject, let's say I have a tree has borers, and I inject the tree with insecticide. The day I do it, 24 hours later, it's 100% coverage from the tip of the tree to the bottom. Well, you know, spraying it and doing drenches and fertilizing it, it's not going to be the case. So it's the most effective way to treat palms to get them to recover from damage or, you know, any type of nutrient deficiency is a tree injection. That gets them back into shape quickly.
Oh, okay. Because they look bad for a long time. And
right.
They really slow to recover. They're beautiful when they go in the ground. They're nice and orange and green and everything. As soon as you put them in the ground, they start to decline and they go bad and they turn completely brown. The trunk turns black. It's horrible.
Wow. There must
so
be.
They
there's,
need to be. They,
yeah.
They the, need to be injected.
Yeah. That will usually recover them. You know. Then when I come out and look at them, I'll say, hey, listen, this is a waste of time. A guy called me the other day and he had some palms that were queen palms, and they were too far gone. I says we can inject them. He almost wanted me to inject them anyway. I told him, they're going to die. They're 100% going to die. Well, inject them anyway. No. They're going to die. You know, it's a waste of money. And then, so we'll give you a fair evaluation. Okay? But that's the best way to get it. That's the best way to get quick recovery on a palm tree.
Can you do that right after you put it in the ground?
Yes. I had several guys, customers have called me about continuous problems with planting palms in certain areas. We rectify the situation, injected all the trees, and they all recovered, all of them.
Oh, perfect.
Okay.
Awesome. Thanks, fellas.
Thank you, then.
Thank you. Good luck with it, Kelly. It's 8:51 here at News 104.5. Very brief break right back for the final segment of the Home and Garden Show. Stay with us. We've been together this long. Let's take it to the finish line. 8:56 here on the Home and Garden Show. Grateful that you've been with us. Our final opportunity today is going to be with Wanda in Arlington, who has a jatropha tree. Wanda, I don't know what that is.
Yes,
help me out.
Well,
it's
in
beautiful.
Doing some research. Hey, guys, how are you? I hope you're doing well today.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks.
Thank you.
I've been doing some research, and I have three or four of these. And
yep.
The thing is I think they're more like considered a shrub.
Yes.
Mine are growing, and they're only like about 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing. They're perfect. They're beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Don't find any pest control problems with them. They're, you know, low maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is there's got to be a problem. And from what I'm reading, after 2 to 5 years, they produce these fruit that turn into nuts.
Uh-huh.
And they have oil in them, and they can actually be used. They're a biodiesel that can be used
mm-hmm.
for diesel engines.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I'm wondering how prolific those are and if they're a problem and if they're going to – go ahead.
I've never seen any of them in our climate zone produce fruit. So,
good.
Yes,
wonderful. They are beautiful.
They are beautiful, and you can prune them up to a small tree around maybe 10 to 15, you know.
Yeah.
The pink varieties are the more cold tolerant. And they are cold sensitive. So, I mean, they have some cold tolerance, but, you know, like on the west side or the north side where it got really cold, you'd have to plant them up against the house.
Yeah, and I have them fairly protected.
Keep the frost off them. But
yeah,
they're a beautiful plant and flowers all summer long.
They certainly are. Okay, thank you very
Thanks,
much.
Thanks, Wanda. 8:58, have a beautiful weekend. Use your turn signal.